Both vehicles are back at the pad, and launch is getting closer and closer. And some other stuff happened here at Starbase. I'm Nick, I'm filling in for my buddy Jack and Doss, and today we're gonna be going through everything that happened over the past week here at Starbase. This week on SBU, we kick it off with Ship 26 being lifted in the rocket garden to the higher stand, which we'll talk about later. All the steel and scaffolding that crews were using to access the OLM while they were building it is finally being taken down, hopefully for the last time, we'll see. But they've already removed a lot of the scaffolding off the chopsticks, and they're just continuing that on the orbital launch mount, enabling all of the area to be cleared for a flight, I guess? I don't know. Why are they doing all this? I haven't quite figured that out. They've also removed all the scaffolding, and they're working on all the equipment that's underneath the OLM right now to get that all nice and cleared out, because I heard somewhere that it might be a little busy underneath the OLM in a little bit. They've also added a new protection ring, and we haven't seen them put anything underneath it yet. Now, they're not quite finished with the orbital launch mount yet, but we have seen them install a few last-minute pieces of equipment and remove a bunch of the supporting hardware around the OLM, and we did see them run some lines down the OLM early last week, so we'll keep you posted. On March 28th, we saw SpaceX perform an OLM purge test, which is actually very similar to what SpaceX does with Falcon 9 and the transporter erector. They want to take all those pipes that are used to fill the booster, and they want to remove all of the methane and LOX that might be inside of those pipes before it actually flies. Last thing you want is your plumbing to catch on fire. So SpaceX used some liquid nitrogen to perform this test here on the OLM. One of my favorite tests that we got to see this week was SpaceX testing the booster quick disconnect hood closing, and we got to watch that happen in real time. This is not sped up, this is real time. That is a very big black piece of steel that is protecting some very sensitive pipes, and that thing moves pretty quick. Basically, the reason why they want to do this is because you have very sensitive equipment and very loud and very hot, flamey engines, and you need to protect those pipes and plumbing because you wouldn't want anything catching on fire. Now, this is a closing test. Opening it is not as big of a process because it is a quick disconnect hood, not a quick connect hood, so it can open very slowly. But this is a really cool test, watching exactly what we'll see on launch day. Oh, before we leave the OLM, I wanted to mention the ventilation hose that fell down this week. Yes, RIP ventilation hose, but if we look back in Starbase history, that's not the worst way for a ventilation hose to die at Starbase. Since I know I have my mom's full and undivided attention right now, I'm going to go ahead and take a minute and show her and all of you exactly what it takes to stick a booster up on the orbital launch mount, because I'm pretty sure she hasn't seen it before, and it's always fun to refresh this and look at the crispy footage we've seen. First, the chopsticks moved from their resting position about halfway up the tower to be ready to receive booster 7. Then the booster was moved between the chopsticks and it was positioned for the chopsticks to grab it at the connector pins. It's not catching it on the grid fins like it might appear. The arms close for the booster lift. The booster connects at two points to the chopsticks, one at the pins and one at the vertical stabilizers further down the chopsticks on each side. The QD arm, which is that big black thing hanging off the middle section of the tower, that's the quick disconnect arm, that swings out of the way to allow the chopsticks to be able to go all the way up the tower with the booster. As the booster was being lifted off the transport stand it was located on, some horizontal stabilizer pins went up and helped guide the booster right off of the mount. Now, they have to do this because they don't want to bump the Raptor engines on the transport stand. There's very tight tolerances, and this is a very big rocket, high wind loads, lots could go wrong, and so when there are very tight tolerances like that, they'll use these horizontal stabilizer pins to reach up and grab the bottom of the booster to make sure it's not swinging around and knocking those delicate Raptors all over the place. Before the booster can actually go anywhere, it has to be unconnected from the transport stand. The transport stand firmly grasps the bottom of the booster to make sure it's firmly attached to the SPMT transport system, which includes those crane weights we talked about a couple weeks ago. The booster is only free to lift once all of the bolts are undone around with some rigging, and then also some hold-down clamps that are on the transport stand also have to be unlocked. After those two things are done, they are free to lift the booster, and the booster can fly! Well, not under its own power yet. Those chopsticks need to precisely control the booster on its way down into the orbital launch mount because you actually don't see the Raptor engines because they're sitting inside of the orbital launch mount. So they have to be very careful as they swing this big booster into these tight tolerances inside the OLM. After that, the chopsticks opened up, went up the tower, swung over the booster, and went back down. And they're currently sitting right there waiting for ship 24 to make its way over in between them and be raised up for another full stack. After they're full stacked, the chopsticks can't go any higher or any further, so to get as far away from the big flame ball as possible, they're gonna open really wide and stay as far away as they can during the launch. It's definitely one of my favorite views of the full stack Starship with the arms like, whee! It's very fun. And that was it. The booster was then in the air, hopefully for the final time, using the chopsticks. Hopefully it'll be in the air one more time, but not with the chopsticks, if you know what I mean. We're not expecting Booster 7 to be destacked anytime soon, because as far as we can tell, that sucker's ready to fly, which is kind of crazy to say because we've been waiting for so long. There are 33 engines underneath that booster, which will be producing 90% thrust at liftoff, which is kind of crazy because last time we saw 33 engine static fire, wait, that was 31 engine static fire. Those were only at 50% thrust. And at 50% thrust, where I am standing right now was inside of a fireball. That wasn't half of the thrust that's about to come out of this. So if I were you, I would not be standing here, and I will not be standing here during orbital flight. But this is gonna be a big fireball. I'm gonna make sure that OLM is well secured to the ground. Before Booster 7 got lifted back up to the pad, SPMTs were rigged up and added with crane weights and rolled down to the launch site. This is one of the steps we have to see before we can see a booster or Starship move. The Starship SPMT system needs to have its center of mass and center of gravity as low as possible. So what they do is they add a bunch of 10-ton crane weights onto these SPMTs, add as much weight to the system as possible, and then they strap the booster to it, meaning that the center of mass of the booster and the SPMTs is as low as possible. My favorite part about SPMTs are just how many wheels there are. Look at them, there are so many wheels. If there's anything my inner three-year-old loves, it's a vehicle with a lot of wheels. And oh my goodness, does an SPMT deliver. SPMTs are actually modular, as the name suggests, self-propelled modular transporters. And they are able to be broken up and reorganized into whatever need they have. So if they have a large load, they'll have a lot of little SPMT segments. If they have a smaller one, there won't be as many. I think it's officially spring now, and in South Texas, spring means two things, mosquitoes and more mosquitoes, but also some spring cleaning. SpaceX is gonna be doing some spring cleaning here as the production site is just littered with parts of Starship's various stages of production and various serial numbers. And so it's kind of making sense that they're starting to scrap some of the Starship parts that are not gonna be used. Starting with Ship 32's aft barrel section that unfortunately has been scrapped. RIP Ship 32. In the weeks before rolling back to the pad, Ship 24 was at the Rocket Garden getting some last minute TPS tile updates and was getting all the last minute checkouts and fittings that were required before it can launch. Now Ship 24 is sitting out in front of suborbital pad A and B after rolling out very, very early on Saturday morning at midnight. Midnight to 3 a.m. was the road closure, and they made it all the way down to the pad. It's not expected to get any suborbital testing. Its next step is most likely to sit on top of the booster as a part of a full stack. This week in the Rocket Garden, less one Starship, as we saw Ship 24 roll, we'll get to that. Ship 26 is on top of its new pedestal. It's a very tall one, and we were wondering what is it for, and we finally figured it out. As you can see behind me, there is a Raptor 2 on a stand that is on a truck that can be lifted up and down. Since the stand that the ship is sitting on is so much taller than a typical stand, they don't really have to lift the ship up or, you know, do any weird movements. They have really easy access to the engine bays. We've seen them install all three of the RVAC engines, and that Raptor behind me is the third of the three sea-level Raptors. So that's a good sign. Ship 26 might be flying soon. Just as a refresher, Ship 26 is the ship that we've seen perform two cryo tests, and its current fate is unknown, however, looking optimistic. Actually, now's a great time to mention, while we're looking at a Raptor engine, that SpaceX has actually updated their website saying that the Raptor vacuum engines, which isn't necessarily the one you're seeing right there, there are three Raptor vacuums underneath 26 right now. Raptor vacuums now have 258 ton force of thrust, which is absolutely insane. It's more thrust than they were saying they were gonna get before, which is only gonna help them get to orbit better. And SpaceX was actually able to achieve this via a new nozzle that has a higher efficiency in the vacuum of space. Now, this is a really cool shot of an RVAC install stand. You can see it is a piece of tooling that allows SpaceX to support the RVAC engine as they're lifting it all the way up into the bottom of Ship 26. You can see its distinctive RVAC shape with its larger engine nozzle support. And this is what they use to install RVAC engines on Ship 26. Rockets typically need a lot of fuel and a big fuel farm to support that fuel. In order to fill that farm, SpaceX tanks in a bunch of liquid nitrogen, liquid oxygen, and liquid methane. Currently, SpaceX is in the process of filling those tanks up for the orbital flight test. It will take a lot of truckloads to fill up one Starship. And right behind me is the new Mega Bay structure. This is the foundation works that they are building out to build up what we believe is going to be a second Mega Bay. Yes, you heard that right. The Mega Bay, which is right over there, there'll be another one right behind me. SpaceX has been adding foundations. They've been drilling out the foundation pylons and filling in concrete. Now, I did notice a little bit of confusion between the new Mega Bay and the new building that they're building behind the Stargate building and between San Martin Street. So I want to take you on a quick little time lapse driving around the site to get from this Mega Bay foundation work to the other foundation work, which is a new building that we don't quite know what they're doing yet. We're now on the exact opposite side of the production facility. To my right, you can see the big pile of dirt and the yellow crane that is part of the new foundation for a new building down here. Now, what this building is going to do or be is still very much up to speculation, but if I had to guess, SpaceX is probably running out of room and trying to build as much floor space as they can as they spool up production. And we got to see SpaceX test the South Texas Tracking Station by pointing it at the launch pad. Typically, they use this station to track anything in orbit that they have recently launched. Most of the time, that's Cargo Dragon or Crew Dragon or a recent Starlink mission. But they have in the past used these dishes to track all of the suborbital flights. So here's to hoping that them testing this out is just another indicator that they're getting closer to finally launching. On March 28th, we saw Ship 28 get stacked in the high bay. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. The tip was stacked on the mid-lock section, one more stack to go for a fully stacked Starship. With a lot of the ships missing TPS between 24 and 28, there's a very good chance that Ship 28 might be up next to attempt the second orbital test flight. Getting a peek into Tent 3 isn't as simple as you might think. SpaceX has built a few fences and a few buildings between where we can be and where Tent 3 is. So anytime we want to get a view into Tent 3, we have to stand on top of things. Here we can see great view inside of Tent 3. We can see Ship 22's nose cone, which unfortunately was never used. Peeking into the Star Factory, which is right next door to Tent 3, we can see that there are many more barrel sections being prepared for new ships and boosters. While some of them are triples, others are quads, depending on what type of vehicles they go in. We can see SpaceX is really ramping up production here, getting ready to deliver lots of tonnage to orbit. Ship 28 was going for a spin. Not a spin prime, just a spin in the high bay. Nothing flamey involved, unfortunately. But Ship 28 spun around its axis, and that normally indicates that SpaceX was using a robot friction welder to weld part of the tank section together as it spun around its diameter. If you've been an avid Texas tank watcher like myself for any amount of time, you will know that there's something missing from the rocket garden behind me. Very excited to say that Ship 24 finally rolled out from the rocket garden to the launch pad very, very early on Saturday the 1st. And that is a midnight road closure, which is kind of a bummer. It was dark, couldn't see too much, but it's still awesome that it's finally at the pad. If everything goes well, please, please, please go well. Please. Please, please go well. If everything goes well, this should be the last rollout of Ship 24 we'll ever see. And that's kind of exciting because Ship 24 is destined to the stars. And if you've been keeping quite up to date on the space Twitters, you will know that SpaceX has scheduled some Notice to Mariners. Now, we've seen them schedule Notice to Mariners before. This is basically SpaceX telling boating captains and people with boats to keep away from possible exploding rockets. It's a very typical thing for the Cape, and they've done it a few times here in Starbase for all the suborbital flights and for a lot of the static fires and large pressure tests that they've done, like the full wet dress rehearsal. What is different about these Notice to Mariners? They're not for South Texas, ladies and gentlemen. It's for Hawaii. That means we're this much closer to SpaceX hopefully being able to fly the full stack Starship. Now, don't get too excited because these are not full launch licenses, okay? This is just another step in the process towards their launch license. We're still waiting on the official FAA approval for SpaceX to launch the full stack Super Heavy. These notice to mariners are scheduled for April 6th through April 12th. That is a 6-day window every day between 12:55 UTC and 17:10 UTC daily. That gives us lots of attempts to try to launch this thing. Let's go. And that about wraps it up for this week's Starbase update. If you made it all the way to the end of this video, double thumbs up for you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And stay tuned for next week. I'd say it won't be boring.